I'll say, I think what Therese said as she came up, wowie. Praise the Lord, amen. Hey, if you have a Bible, Jonah chapter 2 is where we're going to be. If you don't have a Bible and a seat back nearby you, you'll find a copy of God's Word. Please open that. Get God's Word right in front of your eyes. And if you don't own a Bible, please leave with that. If you're newer to the Bible, we are in this four-week study through this little book that you find embedded deep into the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Jonah. And so if you need to use the table of contents, use it. But man, get God's Word in front of your eyes. And while you settle there, let me just ask a question to get us going. And the question is, have you ever experienced the grace of a do-over? Have you ever experienced the grace of a do-over? The grace of a do-over takes small forms at times. Forms like a buddy flipping you another golf ball off the tee and saying, take a mulligan. Oh, the grace of a do-over, right? Or maybe small but a little bit larger, a teacher putting a retake test on your desk on Monday after you knew you blew the test on Friday. The grace of a do-over. As we live our lives, the grace of do-overs become weightier. They become larger. They become more important. Maybe you blew it at work and you really blew it. And it's a mistake that has put a job on the line, but it's met with the grace of a supervisor to get down into the mess with you and walk with you out of it. Oh, the grace of a do-over. At times, for all of us, it's sin exposed that you thought would lead to unsalvageable mess, and instead it's met with the other person getting down with you, picking up the pieces, putting them back together. Oh, the grace of a do-over. Last week, we began this book, and in the book of Jonah, I'm arguing, has these like four distinct parts to it. The four parts are what I'm calling this, a runaway. And last week we looked at the story of this runaway, that God had come to the prophet of God, and he had told the prophet what to do, where to go, what to do, what to preach, the city he was to do it in. And then in the very language of Jonah chapter 1, God is trying to communicate to us that Jonah sought to do the exact opposite. God said, go here, Jonah went there. God said, do this, Jonah went and did that. But the most scary statement that we saw in part one of this runaway was that it wasn't just that Jonah was running from the commands of God. What was Jonah seeking to run from? What did God's word tell us? What was he trying to run from? The presence of God. The prophet of God is trying to run from the presence of God. Oh, what danger there. And we looked at this profile, this story of a runaway. And yet what we saw, and what I want to remind us each week of this series, is that in the book of Jonah, the main character is not Jonah, and the main storyline is rebellion. In the book of Jonah, the main character is God, and the main storyline, his redemptive pursuing grace of us. Amen? And so we look at part two today. And in part two today, we get to watch a recommissioning happen. A commissioning is a charge. A commissioning includes a command. We do parent commissionings around here where we stand our parents on the stage right after they have had a child or shortly after, and we commission them to their call to be a primary disciple maker in that child's life. We commission when we send out church plants. A commission is it's a charge. It's a command. But here's the thing you and I both know. Isn't it true that we don't always get right the first time the commissions the Lord has given us in life? And what we're going to find embedded deep into the end of our message today is a beautiful, beautiful little line that is dripping with the grace of God. And the beautiful little line dripping with the grace of God that we're going to find is this: then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Oh, praise God that he's a God of the second time. Oh, praise God that he's willing to give gracious do-overs. Now, we're going to see that today in this story, the grace of the second time. Today, I hope, is a recommissioning for many of us of things that maybe we didn't get right the first time. Church, today is about this. God is often gracious to recommission us a second time to the things we got wrong the first time. Anyone in need of that? All of us gather in this room today going, yep, 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 yep. I know where I blew it there. I know where I blew it there. Oh, praise God that he's often gracious to recommission us a second time to the things we got wrong the first time. And so what we want to do today is I'm going to walk us through Jonah chapter 2. We're going to get in just to the beginning of Jonah chapter 3. But what we're going to see today is what I'm calling 3 mile markers on the road to a recommissioning. 3 mile markers on the road to recommissioning. And we want to look at what God says here. Now, I pray today is utterly hope-filled for us. I pray today induces our joy. I pray today that as we get on the road to a recommissioning, God fills us with great hope. And so let me pray and ask that by the power of his Spirit, he would do that in our midst right now. Father, you know your kids that are gathered here before you. Lord, we are a people who desperately need grace. Thank you for your grace that we see in this book. Thank you for your grace that you extend to us. And now, Father, I pray, what can't happen here is just words going forth. Lord, we need your word divided rightly so that the power of your Spirit will captivate the word of God in our heart and accomplish in our hearts what you seek to let your word accomplish. So, Lord, you got to take over right now. Lord, this can't just be a group of people gathered. Lord, you got to meet us here. We are desperate to encounter you. Lord, we don't want to walk out of these doors today without having met personally with you because you are a personal God to us. So please, Lord, we pray that through your word right now, you would do a work that is undeniable to change, to encourage, to rebuke, to exhort, to do whatever you need to do in our heart right now. And we ask you to do it in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at these 3 mile markers of a gracious, God's grace on the road of recommission. The first mile marker is this, prayers of brokenness from the pit. Where we left Jonah last week was in the belly of a fish. And where we pick it up today in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, here's what we find. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, and here's his prayer, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. Mile marker one. On the road to recommissioning, it starts with prayers of brokenness from the pit. Now, I want to tease apart Jonah's prayer here a bit, but before I do, I want to say some things about Jonah. You're seeing in this first mile marker these are prayers of brokenness. But if you've been around the Bible or you've grown up in church or you know the Jonah story, you might be going, but I don't know how broken Jonah really is. Because as his story continues, Jonah's still going to be kind of a little twerp at times. And Jonah's still going to have some kind of like throw some fits with God. And the reality is we're going, but how broken is Jonah here? But here's the thing, as I've been wrestling with this text all week, the Jonah's story here and his cry of repentance and his cry of brokenness, it is so much like my story. Because my road of repentance and my road to a recommissioning isn't always just up and to the right. There's a wrestling that goes on in my own heart where it's like, Lord, please, come on, come on. And then back to the vomit that I've been going to again and again. And so, like, where is Jonah's heart here? We don't know. We don't know. But here's what we do know. A road to a recommissioning, it has to start right here. It has to start with cries of brokenness from the pit that we find ourselves in after we have run from the Lord. And so I want us to look at the parts of his prayer right here within this first mile marker. Now, let me ask a question. As you come to Jonah chapter 2, and you get into verse 2, and you read all the way down to verse 9, if I ask this question, where might you find this type of looking communication elsewhere in the Bible? That wasn't a very good question. Wait, thank you, Allie. Where might you find it? In the Psalms. Like, as we come to Jonah's prayer, this is very psalm-esque. And I just want us to take a moment within this first mile marker, and let's look at this. Four parts of pit prayers. Four parts of pit prayers. What is it that truly are cries from the Lord from the pits of distress? What does brokenness look like? The first part of a pit prayer is this. It's calling in distress. Calling in distress. Look at what we see in verse 2. Jonah says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And he answered me, out of the belly of the fish I cried. Is that what it says? Out of the belly of what? Sheol. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. Now, Jonah's prayer starts with where a prayer of brokenness, where a prayer from the pit must start. It starts with a cry of distress. And now listen, when you have ever seen someone truly in distress, you can't fake distress. Like, the best actor in the world can try to act distressed, but if you've ever pulled up on a situation or you've ever walked into a living room, or you can't fake distress. Distress is distressing. And Jonah is crying here, out of my distress. And he recognizes the reality of a situation. He doesn't just say, I'm crying from the belly of this fish. He says, I'm crying from the belly of Sheol. Now, Sheol in Hebrew has a ton of nuance to it. Like, we could probably spend the next 30 minutes talking about the nuances of Sheol, but here's what Jonah real simply is saying. I am crying from the belly of my grave. I am crying, Lord, I am crying from the belly of my grave. I'm crying from the bottom of the pit. But look within this prayer at the two lines that accompany the line, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Look at the two lines that accompany those lines. And he answered me, and you heard my voice. Stop and think about that. Who has gotten Jonah into this distressing situation? Who? Jonah. And from his distress, he cries. And the Lord doesn't say, you've made your bed, now lay in it. And the Lord doesn't go, can't hear you. Out of my distress, he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Praise be to the grace of our God who hears us when we cry from the bottom of the pit, pits we have walked ourselves right into. Now, it's the first part of a prepare. You try saying it, okay? It's the first part of a pit. Who wrote this sermon anyway? Second part of a pit prayer, owning the plight. So Jonah cries in distress, and now Jonah's owning the plight. He's owning the reality of where he's at. Look at what it says in verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. It seems Jonah is describing for us, right? Like so often in like our kids, our kids' stories of this, like Jonah is cast overboard and this whale's just right there like, whoa. But it seems Jonah's describing the descent down into the water. The waves and the billows are all around him. Verse 4, then I said, I'm driven away from your sight. Where was it that he wanted to go? Remember, where was it that he wanted to go? He wanted to go away from his presence. He went down to Tarshish. He went down into the belly of the ship. He wanted to flee the presence of the Lord. Now he's feeling the consequence of that. He says, as I was going down, it was like I was being driven from your sight. But then there's some hope in here. He says, yet I shall look again. I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Jonah right here is saying back to God the reality he finds himself in. He is owning where he's at. He is owning the absolute plight of his situation, and he is owning the utter peril he finds himself in. He's owning it. He's not just owning part of it. He's owning all of it. Here's where I am. Here's the reality. But now, don't miss the way he describes some of this. Look back in verse 3. Go to the end of that verse, and we find that it says, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. And then right as verse 3 is ending, what does he say? He says, all whose waves? All your waves. And who? And your billows passed over me. That's no small thing. The book of Jonah told us that when he was thrown overboard, the Lord appointed the fish to come swallow him. The Lord appointed it. Now, as Jonah finds himself in the chaos of the consequences of his rebellion, he is acknowledging these aren't just the waves of the sea. These are the waves of the sovereign God who created the sea and oversees the seas. These are God's waves and billows crashing against him. Oh, the goodness of the grace of God who crashes his waves and billows upon us as a consequence to make us never want to do the road of rebellion we've already done. You with me on that? And now some of you are like, I don't know if I'm with you. I'm with you theologically, don't know if I'm with you practically. I'm not saying we like it. I'm not saying we're gluttons for punishment. They're like, come on, bring the waves, Lord. Bring the billows, God, but the grace of our God that Jonah acknowledges is bringing the waves, bringing the billows in the midst of the consequences of his running from the Lord. And so you have this here, this prayer from the pit, this calling out in distress, this owning his plight. Now here's this third part. Ready? Just like many of the Psalms are starting with the reality of the situation, and then the soundtrack begins to get hopeful. Chariots of Fire type stuff, you know what I mean? Hope begins to arise in Jonah. Look at the last part of verse 6 into verse 7. He says, yet you brought up my life from the pit. Oh Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. There's a trust in the Lord. Prayers from the pit. Yes, we call in distress. Yes, we own the plight, acknowledge the reality of where we are. But then we begin to trust again in the Lord. We declare our trust. You brought up my life from the pit. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. He is the one we declare our trust in at mile marker one of a cry of distress. Because we have a God who raises us up from the pit. Amen. You can't raise you from the pit. But praise be to God that he sent his son who bore a cross, was buried in a pit, and who 3 days later rose again. He's the one who raises from pits. And then he's the one who in our cries of distress reaches back down and delivers us out of the pit as well. And so you have this calling in distress, you have this owning the plight, you have this trusting in the Lord. Now finally, you have this hoping for the future. This is part of a pit prayer. If you're in the pit today, this is part of the pit prayer. This is where the pit prayer crescendos into. There's a hope because you've trusted in the Lord in the future. Verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah's saying, I will sacrifice to you. I will pay what I vowed. There's a hope that God might be gracious to restore him and that Jonah again will do the things that God has called him to do. The road to a recommissioning starts here. It starts with prayers of brokenness from the pit. It starts from a place of authentic brokenness. It starts from a place of genuine brokenness. You don't get to fast track to mile marker 3. We just don't. And this is where it starts. But here, do you know when you're on a trip, maybe you go to the same place on vacation all the time, or maybe there's regular trips you make throughout a week or a month or a year. And do you know those mile markers that have like a special meaning for you? My family all lives back in Michigan. And so when we hop on I-69 going north into Michigan, there's the Nestle chocolate factory thing. And so, like, as we're heading up I-69, we always hit that mile marker where all the kids go, chocolate bunny! That's a special mile marker to us. Now, mile marker 2 of the road to a recommissioning is a special mile marker. Because this is where we see God do what only God can do. Look at what it says in verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. It's the only time you'll say, praise God for fish vomit. Mile marker 2 is this, gracious deliverance from our good God. Gracious deliverance from our good God on a road to a recommissioning. We've been commissioned to something. We haven't gotten it right the first time. God in his grace has given us another opportunity on the road to a recommissioning. Mile marker 2 is all about God's grace to deliver us from the pit that we had found ourselves in. For Jonah here, the Lord spoke to the fish. Remember, I've already said it. It's the Lord who appointed the fish to swallow him. Now it's the Lord who's speaking to the fish to vomit him back onto dry ground. This is God's mercy. This is God's grace. Jonah, quite literally here, is dripping in the grace of God. One of you got that. The Lord putting his feet back on solid ground for what we're about to see at mile marker 3. But before we get there, I've already said it, but I want to say it again. It's our responsibility before the Lord to be faithful at mile marker 1, crying out from a place of brokenness, from the depths of the pit. If we just imagine us at the bottom of a pit, at the bottom of a pit, there's nothing we can do to deliver ourselves from the bottom of a pit. All we can do is desperately, distressingly cry out from the bottom of that pit. It is God's job to reach down and deliver us from that. And he is so good at his job. He is so kind to reach down and deliver. It is a brokenness and it is a contriteness that the Lord looks upon and goes, yes, We hate, or I shouldn't say that. We in our flesh, we want a stiff arm brokenness and contriteness. But the Lord looks down at a true cry of brokenness from a place of distress, and he says, yes. And he reaches his gracious hand down, and he pulls us out, pulls us up from the walls that we can never scale ourselves. Praise be to his name. We cry out, God reaches down. We cry out, God reaches down. We cry out, God reaches down. It is God who has acted for our deliverance in the sending of his Son to save us from our sin. It is God who has acted for our deliverance to deliver us from the strongholds of sin. It is God who has acted for our deliverance to bring reconciliation to relationships you thought were done. It is God's act to deliver, to restore what seems utterly broken. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. And on, I could keep singing that song. And he is so mighty. His arm is not too short to reach down into the deepest pits that we have walked ourselves or fallen ourselves right into, to hear our cries for mercy and to say, I got you. So mile marker two on the road to recommissioning is God acting to deliver. He has spoken to the fish. The fish has vomited Jonah back onto dry land. Now, you ready? Are you ready? Mile marker three. Oh, the beauty of mile marker three of the road to a recommissioning. Mile marker three is all about this: obedience to his gracious recommissioning. It's about obedience to his gracious recommissioning. Here are these words, dripping in the grace of God. Jonah 3:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. You all say the next three words. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And what's he say? Saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Understand something in the movement of the book of Jonah. Jonah 3:1 is a new beginning. Literally a new beginning. Go back in your Bible to Jonah 1. Go back in your Bible real quick to Jonah 1:1. Jonah 1:1 says this: now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah 1:3 now begins Jonah's runaway in disobedience away from that command. Jonah 3:1, flip back to Jonah 3:1. Quite literally, God's grace of a new beginning. The God of the second time. The God of the gracious do-over. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying the very thing he said before. After Jonah has disobeyed, after he has run away, after he has done everything he can possibly do to put his fingers in his ears and to stiff-arm the Lord has sent him through a season of consequence of that. In his grace, he has spit him back onto dry ground, and now he's come to him again and said, Jonah, it's time for a recommissioning. I'm going to call you again to what I called you to the first time. And folks, today, listen to me. Every eye look at me. Today is a day of recommissioning. Today is a day of recommissioning. Not in some like fluffy feel-good sense. Not in some just like, oh, that's really motivating. No. Today is a day of recommissioning that drills down deep in the grace of a God who comes to us the second time, and at times the third time and the fourth time. Some of you on fifth or sixth yet, right? And calls us back. Gives us grace to recommission us a second time to the things we got wrong the first time. And so let me, I just pray in here this morning. For those of us who need to fall on the grace of an awesome God for a recommissioning today. All of us have been commissioned to follow Jesus, and some of us are just going, you know what? I know I'm saved. I know I've believed on him, but I have just not been faithful to follow him as Lord and Master. Today is a day of recommissioning. Today is the day to repent, to turn, and to cast ourselves on the grace of a God who comes the second time and calls us back. Some of us, all of us, know that we've been commissioned with a great commission to go and to make disciples of all nations. And some of us just need to go today. I have so not taken seriously that commission. Oh, today would be the day that we repent and we cast ourselves onto the grace of a God who comes the second time and says, let's be faithful now. Today is a day of recommissioning. God has called some of you to some things. And you know the call he has placed on your life. And you've been continuously off that road and walking a path of disobedience. Oh, today that we would cast ourselves on the grace of the God of the second time. Who would say, I know you've been walking. I know you've not, but my grace is sufficient for you. We're going to recommission it today. Oh, the grace of God to call some of us who've been called to the role, to the privilege of husband and of wife, and we're going, we've not been faithful to that. God, I've not been faithful to that commission. Today is the day we cast ourselves on the grace of the God of the second time and say, Lord, I'll be faithful from this day forward. Make me the husband you want me to be. Make me the wife you want me to be. Some of us have been commissioned to a call as mom or dad, and we're just going, I've not done it. And maybe for you, you have adult kids, and you're like, I've been so unfaithful to that call for years and years and years. Cast yourselves onto the grace of the God of the second time to be recommissioned and to start again to say, I'll be faithful, God, to what you've commissioned me to do. Oh, the grace of the second time, that God would come and recommission us to those things he's called us to, and we didn't get right the first time. As we close today, all week long, just in preparation to stand and preach Jonah 2 today, the Lord has captivated my heart, and don't turn there, it's going to be on the screen, but it's captivated my heart, grabbed my heart with Psalm 130. And as we think about the recommissionings that God is calling us to today, the ways he's calling us back to faithfulness a second time that we didn't get right the first time, I want to read Psalm 130 over us as a recommissioning charge and a recommissioning prayer. And then the worship team, you're going to stay right there in your seats. You're going to remain seated. And then the worship team's going to come sing over us a recommissioning song that is built out of this psalm right here. But let's make this a prayer of recommissioning. Let's cast ourselves onto the grace of the God who comes the second time and gives us an opportunity to get right what we got wrong. Psalm 130 says this. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May we find the gracious recommissioning from the God of the second time
and that prayer of recommissioning. Now just let God's, let our worship team just sing this song over us as a song of recommissioning for us here today.